Believers Bible Assembly is pleased to welcome you this morning to our teaching series called Searching the Scriptures. It is our prayer that many will tune in to hear this teaching from God's Word, and the Lord will open many hearts to an understanding of His Word and to His wonderful salvation. If you are enjoying and benefiting from this program, then please inform your family and friends to also listen in each week to this broadcast. At the end of the program, I will provide phone numbers for you to contact us so that you may comment or ask questions about what you have heard or if you would like some more information about our church. Now let us begin today's broadcast with some music that will help prepare our hearts for hearing God's Word. If you have a Bible handy, you may want to open and follow along with today's scripture reading. We will be reading from
John chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also, and from now on you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, Show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. A little while longer, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. At that day you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him, and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's, who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things, and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice because I said, I am going to the Father, For my Father is greater than I, and now I have told you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, so I do. Arise, let us go from here.
Lesson 82, I Will Come Again. Today's lesson continues with Jesus and his disciples meeting in an upper room in Jerusalem on the night before he was crucified. Jesus uses this occasion to comfort and teach his disciples in preparation for all that was about to take place. The most comforting words he gave to them were, I will come again. Jesus told his disciples not to let their hearts be troubled, to believe in him as they believed in God. He said that he would be going away, but thereafter he would come again to receive them forever into his Father's house. This passage provides not only comfort for those disciples so long ago, but to all who have put their faith in Jesus, for we are all waiting for his return to take his church home to heaven. The disciples were confused by Jesus' words and did not know where he was going or how to get there, but Jesus tells them that they did know the way, for he was the way, the truth, and the life. He adds that no one could come to the Father except through him. This statement clearly shows that no other religion or way can get us into heaven. It is only through Jesus alone that we may enter heaven. You must believe this, or else you make Jesus a liar, for he said himself that there is no other way. Jesus must explain to Philip and the others that he and his Father are one, so that any that had seen Jesus were really seeing the Father. Jesus was in the Father, and the Father in Jesus. He asked his disciples if they believed this, and said they should believe based on the works that he did. Jesus provides them with words of comfort, assurance, and exhortation. He says that those who believe in him would do greater works than even he did. Perhaps by this he meant the salvation of 3,000 souls on the day of Pentecost through the witness of the Holy Spirit and the preaching of the apostles. Jesus did many mighty miracles, but today his word and influence has spread around the world through the efforts of God's children, and in this sense of the spread of the gospel, the works of the church are greater in scope. Jesus said that those who love him would keep his commandments. He also mentions that the Holy Spirit would be sent as a comforter to his disciples. When Jesus said that he will come to them and the world will not see them, but they will see him, this brought more confusion to his disciples. Jesus explained that when his disciples love him and keep his word, he and his Father would take up their abode with them. By this he meant that their presence would be known through the indwelling Holy Spirit, whom the world would not know or recognize, but they would know him and his power in their lives. Jesus speaks further about the ministry of the Holy Spirit and how he would come to them and teach them and help them to remember everything concerning Jesus' words. It was this work of the Holy Spirit that helped the apostles and prophets of the New Testament to write down everything we now have in our New Testament. The Holy Spirit lives inside of every believer and can help him to understand what he is reading in the Bible and guide him away from sin, lead him in prayer and worship, and bring assurance of salvation and power to preach the Word of God. It is a remarkable thing to consider that God would live inside all believers and provide guidance, help, comfort, and power through the Holy Spirit. What a great and merciful God we serve. Jesus not only promises the Holy Spirit will come to comfort and help them, But he also gives them his peace, and again says that they should not allow their hearts to be troubled. When a person knows for sure that they are saved and going to heaven, it brings a sense of peace to their heart that is unlike any other peace. It is a holy calm that can endure through the most difficult storms in life, and still smile with assurance, for Jesus will carry us safely through the storm and into heaven at last. Jesus tells his disciples about everything that was going to happen so that when it did happen, they would believe. We should realize that the reason so much of the Bible is prophecy is because God is showing us that he knows the future and has revealed it to men, so that they can be assured that it is he, God alone, whom they can trust. Be careful whom you believe. Many call themselves prophets, but while they try to tell you of your future, they likely cannot tell you what you ate for dinner the night before. These are fakes who are after your money and really do not know anything of the future except what God has shown us in the scriptures. Jesus mentions that the ruler of this world was coming. By this he means Satan, but Satan had nothing in him. Satan had no power or authority over Jesus, and there was nothing in Jesus that Satan could appeal to make him sin. Jesus then said to his disciples that it was now time for them to arise and go, so that the world may know that he loved the Father. What compelled him to give his life was love, love for the Father and love for your souls and mine, that we might be saved and go to heaven. I hope you know the way to heaven through Jesus Christ. If not, why not trust him today as your only way to heaven? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. John chapter 14, verse 6. Now for today's Bible question. Today we have been learning about the final hours before Jesus would be arrested and led away to be crucified. During these hours, Jesus comforted and encouraged his disciples with promises of his coming again and the coming of the Holy Spirit to guide, teach, comfort, and abide with them forever. Someone might ask the question, how can I know if the Spirit of God is living within me? When Jesus promised his disciples that the Holy Spirit would come as a comforter and abide with them forever, it was a remarkable promise, but how could they discern his presence among them, for he was a spirit, and we cannot see a spirit? On the day of Pentecost, when the disciples were gathered together in Jerusalem, the Holy Spirit came upon the believers, and the apostles were suddenly and miraculously able to speak the wonderful works of God in many languages simultaneously. As they spoke, all the people in Jerusalem gathered to hear and wondered how it was that these band of Galileans were now speaking in many languages so that everyone could hear the message in his own language and dialect. It was a remarkable miracle that day in Jerusalem, and was God's way of authenticating the power and presence of the Holy Spirit coming upon the newly formed church. This original baptism in the Holy Spirit sealed the believers with the Holy Spirit, who would never leave them, but who would be their power and protection to preach in the name of Jesus. As a result of the coming of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, not only was the church born, but the Word of God spread through the testimony and preaching of the believers. Some were able to perform miraculous signs through the power of the Holy Spirit. This bore witness to the Holy Spirit's work and therefore His presence in the believers through whom the miracles were done. The Holy Spirit does not grant miraculous power to every Christian, and in fact, miracles were only used for a time until the Scriptures were completed, and the witness of miracles was superseded by the better witness of God's Word. Now the Holy Spirit works in ways which may not demonstrate such miraculous manifestations, but are nonetheless clearly evident of His presence and power working in the life of the believer. The Holy Spirit will take up His residence in anyone who places his or her trust in Jesus as their personal Savior. When that happens, the person experiences a new birth and becomes a whole new creature in Christ. The Holy Spirit gives them new desires and turns them away from sinful desires. A new believer will learn to love reading the Bible and will be drawn to pray and to fellowship with other Christians. Also, the Spirit of God teaches the Christian to hate sin and love righteousness. The Holy Spirit gives guidance through the Scriptures, and Christians ought to be humble and obedient to the Word of God if they are responding to the Holy Spirit's work in them. All these are evidences of the Holy Spirit's presence in the life of the believer. The first Christians began to give away their money and possessions to help others less fortunate than themselves. They also went about telling others about Jesus and salvation and were very bold in their witnessing for Jesus. There was a close bond of fellowship, which meant they enjoyed taking their meals together and serving and helping one another. These evidences may also be seen today when Christians are being directed by the Holy Spirit. We might be misled into thinking that the Holy Spirit's presence and power is manifest in a church meeting when people start shaking, chanting, strange sounds, or falling down on the floor. But while we might see these things in the church, be careful not to associate it with the work of the Holy Spirit, for the Holy Spirit never acted this way as recorded in the Bible. We are best to take our guidance from God's Word and not from the experiences of man. Realize that Satan is also a spirit and can do some signs to deceive you into thinking you are seeing something from God, when all the while its source is another spirit. When we see Jesus' name exalted, people turning away from sin, learning to love and serve and give, then we are seeing the evidence of the Holy Spirit's work. It may not be so evident to you if the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, but if you continue to read the Scriptures, the Holy Spirit can teach you and assure you through the Scriptures that you are indeed God's child. This witness is very important, for you would not want to fool yourself into thinking you are a Christian when you really are still Satan's child. May the Lord help us to discern the true work of the Holy Spirit in our lives and give us assurance that we belong to God. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Romans chapter 8, verse 16. Just before we conclude today's broadcast, we want our listeners to be aware of our Emmaus Bible courses that we are making available. These courses are from Emmaus Bible College in the USA. There are 12 courses in the first series and also 12 in the second series. These courses begin with the basic teachings of Christianity and move on to more advanced doctrinal studies in subjects such as biblical marriage, the New Testament Church, and Evangelism. If you should be interested in becoming a student of these courses, or feel that you could use these materials to help others grow in their Christian walk, then please feel free to contact us and we will provide the information needed to get you started. You may phone Shadrach in Kumasi at 024-442 1948, or if you have access to the Internet, please visit our website at www.BibleAssemblyChurch.com, where you will find details about the Emmaus courses and a student registration form that you can download and use to register as an Emmaus student. Jesus, if you want to become a true born-again Christian, here is what you must do. 1. Admit that you are a sinner. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." 2. Realize that God hates your sin and must judge it. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death," and this means eternal separation from God. 3. Realize that God loves you and does not want you to perish. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." 4. Realize that Jesus paid your debt of sin for you. 1 Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit." 5. Accept God's free gift of eternal life by faith. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name." And also in Romans chapter 10 verse 9 it says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And number 6, also be assured that your salvation is through Christ alone and not your works. Ephesians chapter 2 verses 8 and 9 say, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." If you would like to receive God's free gift of eternal life right now, you may by a simple prayer made to God in faith. You could pray like this: "Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner, and that I deserve God's judgment. I do not want to have to face that judgment, but I want to be saved and go to heaven. So please forgive me of my sins and come into my life now to be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for dying for my sins, and I thank you for the free gift of eternal life." If you have prayed this and believed with all your heart in Jesus as your Savior, then the Word of God assures you that you have been saved. It is not based on how you feel, but on your trust in the Lord Jesus. Thank you for listening to today's lesson. If you have any questions or comments for us, or you would like more information about God's way of salvation or about our church, then please contact us. You may call Daniel at 024-325-1081, or if you prefer to speak Chi, then you may call Shadrach at 024-442-1948. Again, those numbers are Daniel at 024-325-1081, or for Chi, call Shadrach at 024-442-1948. The Believer's Bible Assembly is a non-denominational church believing and practicing the teachings of the New Testament. Please tune in to this broadcast each Sunday morning at this time. Until next time, may the Lord bless you.
I know my